Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tuck your napkin into your collar because it's time for the Off Menu podcast.
Very nice, Ed.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, really good.
I'm enjoying that. I'm enjoying coming up with new little intros every week.
You're very good at coming up with them, and I can tell you're just coming up with them on the spot.
Yeah.
You've got so many in your head. You're very quick on your feet.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm Ed Gamble. That's who is quick on his feet.
Yes, James Acaster here, Ed Gamble's friend and genie.
Yes, also James is a genie waiter. This is the Off Menu podcast where we ask a special guest every week for their dream starter, main, side, drink and dessert. James plays the genie waiter. And our guest this week is Selassie Bormitta from Bake Off.
One of my favourite ever Bake Off contestants. Very excited to have Selassie in. Famously chilled out and relaxed in the Bake Off tent. So let's see if he is as relaxed in our restaurant, in our magical restaurant.
I'd say he's one of the most popular Bake Off contestants of all time.
Yeah, even people who don't watch Bake Off know Selassie.
Know Selassie. I'm really looking forward to this episode.
Yes, so am I. Especially because I, as you know, I'm a pudding head.
Is that the technical term for what you are?
Yeah, I know it sounds like a mean term and a bullying term.
A pudding head.
Yeah.
Your
pudding head.
Yeah. It sounds like the sort of thing Biff Tannen would say.
No one
McFly,
calls me.
Why, you little pudding head?
No one calls me pudding head. I love puddings, and I follow Selassie on Twitter, and he tweets a lot of pictures of puddings. So I get very excited every time he tweets a picture of a pudding.
Great.
And quite frequently, I've tweeted him stuff, really lame stuff, like "Save me a slice,"
like an auntie would say
on Facebook. Want some pudding.
Yeah. Ooh, looks delicious. Yeah. Save me a slice.
To be fair, he won't be replying saying he will.
Yeah, and he never does.
Never does. But maybe today when he comes in, he'll bring in an armful of all these slices that I've asked for.
Old pudding slices.
Yeah. Here you go, kept them all.
Yeah, even a pudding head like you might turn your nose up at an old slice.
An old slice. Been sitting around. We've got a secret ingredient, of course, that if Selassie mentions it, he is out of our dream restaurant.
That's how it works. We have a secret ingredient that neither of us like, and if the guest says it, they're out on their ear.
Kind of made it dessert-based as well. This is a thing, if this ever pops up in sweets or desserts, I get annoyed.
He could be tripped up by this.
Licorice.
Yes. It's licorice, the secret ingredient.
The devil's rope.
I hate the devil's rope.
The devil's rope, licorice.
I hate it. The witch's hair. I hate it. Disgusting.
The ghoul's chains.
I hate Bertie Bassett.
Yeah. Oh, if Bertie Bassett was real, I would beat him up.
I'd kick the shit out of Bertie Bassett.
I would go to prison for killing Bertie Bassett. I don't care.
I'd get longer than people would normally get yeah. for assault, because in court I'd be like, I don't regret a thing.
Yeah, I absolutely hate him.
Yeah.
I would kick him in his stupid nose, kick his head off.
Kick all the pink bit out the middle of his head.
Oh, yeah, I would kick that pink bit out the middle of his head. Knock his stupid hat off and throw it in the bin. I'd really beat up Bertie Bassett.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's an arsehole.
But then they brought out fruit all sorts. Do you remember that?
No.
So when I was a kid, So I always looked at licorice all sorts. This is why I hated them as well.
Yeah.
I looked at licorice all sorts and thought they looked delicious.
Yeah.
The bright colours. And this looks like a delicious sweet. And then you put it in your mouth and it tastes like the devil's piss. And I didn't like it. And then they brought out fruit all sorts.
Yeah.
That didn't have any licorice in them whatsoever. And they looked just as colourful, but they tasted like fruit flavours. And I absolutely loved those.
Yeah.
But they were out for like, you know, a month. It was very short.
Were they deliberately limited edition, or did people not pick up on them as much as you did?
Yeah, I don't remember if it said limited edition or not. But normally when it says limited edition, you know it's not.
Well, they're testing the market,
yeah,
right?
You know you're just being tested.
But clearly it was just you buying them.
Yeah, this was like just me. And then they went. And look, if anyone from Bassett's is listening, please bring back the fruit all sorts. Maybe just deliver me a bag. And if you want to send Bertie Bassett to deliver them, fine, but I'm going to kill him. He can come over and deliver my fruit all sorts to me, and then I will set him on fire.
You know what? If I was a witness to you killing Bertie Bassett, I wouldn't say a thing.
Thank you very much, Ed. Although I would want you to say a thing because I want credit for it.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I hate him that much.
Oh, tell everyone.
Yeah, tell everyone that I did it.
Yeah.
Do an Instagram story about it as I'm beating him up.
You could put a picture of it on Twitter, and then I'd probably tweet you back saying, save me a slice.
Yeah, exactly. I would save you a slice.
Thank you.
If you want to come over and kick a slice out of his stupid fucking face.
So here we go, the podcast with Selassie. Let's hear it. Hello, Selassie.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining us in the dream restaurant at the Off Menu Podcast.
Welcome.
Okay, that is, I'm not sure if you're aware that James is a genie waiter on this podcast.
Okay.
So that was him appearing. That sound effect that sounded like a big splash is actually him appearing out of a lamp.
Do you rub the side?
As expected, Selassie's the one who's taking it the most in his stride out of any guest we've had. Just completely fine with it, doesn't faze him whatsoever.
Some people are surprised, some people are confused. Selassie just went with, okay.
Yeah.
Yep, okay.
Let's carry on.
Absolutely fair.
I'm used to this.
It's what people expect of you. Do you find there's a bit of pressure sometimes when people meet you that you've got to be super relaxed?
I normally are, but then sometimes people think, maybe he's. It's just a persona that I put on TV, but I mean, I am relaxed in real life, so I don't try and be any different. Yeah.
Do people try and test you like they do with the Buckingham Palace guards?
No. We're just poking and just, no. I mean, give me a few tequilas and I'll be on the dance floor, but that's it.
Well, hopefully today isn't the day where we finally tip you over the edge.
Oh, no, I'll be fine.
And make
I'll
you angry.
No,
all
no,
right,
no.
Well, yeah.
I won't turn green.
welcome along. Good to see you. You said you got back from Switzerland recently?
Yes.
And how long were you there for?
I was there for 8 months and I was doing some fancy chocolate stuff and sugar work and high-end patisserie. So it was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah. I did eat a lot of chocolate, which I love. Yeah,
that's part of it, right?
Well, yeah, it is.
Weren't sneaking it. You weren't being naughty.
Depends what you mean naughty. I mean, occasionally there'll be a chocolate just lying around, and I don't like to waste food.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, I'm very big on the environment, so.
Yeah, that's true.
And one of the biggest problems facing the environment is chocolate that's just lying about, of course.
Yes.
Because a bird could trip over that.
Yeah.
That's true. It could. And
so God bless you, Selassie.
Knock its beak on the floor.
Thank you.
That'd be awful.
Bless you, Selassie, for saving all those little birds' beaks.
Every little helps. Yeah.
you got a dark chocolate, a milk chocolate, and a white chocolate. You can only have one of them. What are you going to choose?
Dark.
Yes. I think we all agree on that, which is rare. People get annoyed with people who like dark chocolate.
People do get annoyed with us.
I like dark chocolate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. In a way, it's a bit... I mean, I'm not big on health because I love dessert and I'm a baker, but it's the healthier option in the chocolate range. Milk chocolate is good if it's got nuts or, you know, other things.
It needs something else in there to bump it up.
And it depends on the milk chocolate. If you get a really rubbish one, it's just sugar.
Yeah.
Like you can get good quality milk chocolate, but dark chocolate is always, you know.
Because and the higher percentage of cocoa, the lower the sugar content indeed. As well.
Indeed. That's what your t-shirt says, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one of my catchphrases, Selassie. Yeah. We've got some merch coming out.
Very wordy merch.
Yeah. In the past, I've had 100% dark
that's
chocolate,
strong.
Which is strong.
It's like ayahuasca, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it is, exactly. It really makes you hallucinate.
I should have brought some in now. I feel bad.
Oh, yeah.
Next time.
It's okay. Yeah, next time we'll do the sequel.
Yeah.
I'll be tearing it up. What was the hardest thing you had to make in Switzerland? What's the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge actually was being there because when you leave Bake Off, people almost put you on this professional pedestal, but you're not really a professional, are you? You're just a home baker, really good at it. You make it onto the show and you excel or, you know, you bake some amazing things. So when I went to Switzerland and my first day in the kitchen, you know, all the other students are younger than me. And they've grown up in the kitchen environment and constantly in the kitchen in Chef's White in the big ass boots that all the chefs wear that's unattractive and the trousers. And, you know, I got there and I was like, oh, do I fit in? You know, so I wasn't too sure. Because I remember my first day, I went in wearing a suit because we had classroom and kitchen sessions. I wore the suit and I was like, oh, I think I've worn the wrong outfit. Yeah, so I had to quickly go back into my room, change into my chef's white, got there. And then the first question the chef asked me was, are you sure you're supposed to be in here?
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, he's a cool guy. I love him. He's a really good friend now. But that's
not a good start.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, because I was quite nervous and I don't show my nerves at all. I was quite nervous because it's a new environment for me. But then as soon as I got in, it was okay. So for me, to go back to your question, it's more the whole situation that I found myself in that kind of made me nervous. But then the harder bit was sugar. So we did a lot of sugar show pieces, molding, sculpting, and blowing sugar. And it was because you're working with really hot molten sugar and your fingers are burning. And we had to blow like a dolphin or a shark out of sugar.
Wow.
What?
Right. Yeah. So because it's very temperature sensitive, you're blowing, you're almost getting... So as you're blowing, you're pulling it and then you're forming the shape as you're blowing.
That sounds impossible.
So what have you got, a long pipe?
Yeah, so you've got a little metal rod.
Yeah.
And we obviously got a hole through it and it's got a pump at the end, which you basically pull the sugar, you fold the sugar around the pipe and then you start blowing. Mm-hmm. So as you're blowing, you're forming the shape. And you think you've got it, then it pops, it explodes.
Oh, God.
So I tried so many times. I tried to do a whale, shark, then I ended up with a dolphin. No, I was trying to do a dolphin, which was harder because you need to get a... Is it called beak?
The bottle nose.
So try and get the nose and then get the body and then, you know, you basically finish it off. And that was the hardest bit. So I think sugar work.
I don't think I could even draw a dolphin.
Why is it mainly marine mammals?
You can do... I don't think there's a rule, but you can do anything. But the theme was Nemo. So we're doing finding...
Right, okay.
Was it Dora?
No. Finding Nemo or those Finding Dory?
Dora. Yeah. That's Dora the Explorer, isn't it? Finding Dory. And
you don't need to find Dora the Explorer. She finds stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
She could have found Nemo.
So I think it was the sugar work that was...
That sounds ridiculously difficult.
Absolutely. I'll show you a picture later, but it was hard.
Did you get it in the end? You managed
got there and finished my showpiece because we get graded on it. Yeah. So, I mean, everyone struggled then.
But you're used to that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
After Bake Off, they're saying do a showpiece and you're going to be graded. You're like, this is nothing.
Yeah, I think that was one thing that worked to my advantage because all the other students, they're pretty much in school and they've never been in competitive environments before, whereas I've come from Bake Off and I'm used to the stress of the tent and, you know, the minimal sort of time constraints that you get given, etc. So, I mean, when it came to competitions in the school and came to exams, I was more under... you know, I was more relaxed than the other students who were very stressed and nervous and literally pulling their hair out. So that kind of helped me.
They didn't know how to handle Melon Sue when they came in and started asking them questions. No. Yeah. What are you two doing here?
Yeah.
The chef going, are you sure you're supposed to be in here, Melon Sue?
Yeah.
Serious question. I don't think I'm out of order this time. Are you meant to be in here, Melon Sue? The things that you had to bake for your last episode of Bake Off.
Yeah.
Did you go home and like make them again to face the demons immediately?
No.
Have you never done them again?
No.
Never got anywhere near them?
So what was it? Palmiers. I mean, I've made puff pastries since, but Fondant Francis, I've never been a fan of Fondant Francis anyway because I find them too sweet, you know. But apart from that,
I love Fondant Francis.
Oh, really? Mr. Kipling ones?
Yeah, I like Mr. Kipling ones. I don't mind. Yeah, I like them. Although I bought a giant one once. There's like a huge one. It's like this is the size of like a big cake. But a fondant fancy.
Oh, really?
That is too sweet.
And I bought one thinking this would be brilliant. Yeah. And yeah, it was not brilliant.
That's just mainly the fondant, right?
Yeah, I felt like I was in
Willy Wonka's factory. Like this is really exciting. And then it was really regretful. And no one else wanted it. Yeah, when you think that, everyone will want this.
Yeah, but no.
No one
did. So you ate it.
Just me eating a whole giant fondant fancy.
Nice. And no one else was there anyway.
So. Yeah, it was just me, to be fair.
Well, welcome to the dream restaurant, Selassie. You get to bring your dream meal. This is the genie waiter, James Acaster, who's going to be taking your order.
Pleasure, sir. Selassie's a genie as well. Oh, man.
It's the first time a genie's got to the restaurant.
Another genie in the No wonder you weren't impressed earlier when I was a genie. You're a genie yourself. You woke up in the lab. Well, welcome. First of all, sir, would you like still or sparkling water?
Still, please.
Is it always still? You're a still man?
Yeah, very still man. Occasionally, I'll drink sparkling if it's the only water available, if they can't give you tap water.
That's illegal. If any restaurant says they can't give you tap water, you should challenge them on the law, which isn't a good start to the meal, but you should
Is that actually illegal?
It's illegal for a restaurant not to offer to refuse tap water.
Could you take them to court?
Yeah, you could take them to court.
Over water, yes.
Yeah, you could.
Who would your lawyer be? Nemo.
It would be a poorly blown sugar dolphin.
It
would be Saul from Saul Goodman.
Saul Goodman, exactly.
The guy from Breaking Bad in a tap water case.
Pretty sure he would be the only lawyer to take that case.
Yeah.
Still water sounds great. Do you like a big old bottle of still water in the middle of the table? We're ruling tap out.
You know what? I'm bad at this, right? I don't drink that much water. I mean, I should be.
Here we go.
I mean, I try to. So if we go to a restaurant and there's an alcoholic drink, I'd rather have that than water.
Straight to the booze.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before the food's even come along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying always. That as if no one else does that.
Yeah, always. Yeah. Occasionally, I'll have a glass and I rarely finish the glass, to be fair.
Right, well,
you're like the kid from Signs.
Yes, that's a very specific reference to one of the less well-known M. Night Shyamalan films.
Yeah, there's a little girl, right?
Yeah.
And she never finishes any of her glasses of water. And she just leaves them all around the house. So their house is just full of all these half-filled glasses of water. And you think, well, there's no point to that. But the message of the film is that...
Drink your water.
That's the twist at the end. She becomes very dehydrated.
I think that's what the film wants you to think. So that they can pull the lug from underneath you.
The message of Signs is drink your water.
Drink your water. At the end, a big message comes up on the screen. Drink your water. Yeah. Also, poppadoms or bread, Selassie? Poppadoms or bread?
Ooh.
Again, the only person completely not fazed by me
shouting.
Didn't
flinch whatsoever.
I mean, for the listener, I think it is just so unfair that the listener did not get to see that, because normally I shout it at people and they're a bit startled, they didn't quite expect it. Selassie not only didn't flinch, didn't move a muscle, he maintained eye contact with me the whole time. He looked right at me and then
you normally will shout it once and then shout it again quieter because people have jumped already.
Yeah.
You shouted that twice at exactly the same volume. Selassie took it all in and went, ooh.
Yeah, good question.
Bread every time. I do like poppadoms, but bread, yeah.
What kind of bread do you want? What's your favourite type of bread? If I can get you any type of bread in this restaurant. It could be a specific bread that you've had before. Maybe a home-cooked one someone made for you.
Peshwari naan.
Whoa.
Ding, ding, ding. Joel Dom. We are. I mean, Selassie, I don't want to make you nervous, and I'm sure it won't. But Peshwari Naan was also the choice of Joel Dommett, who is, and I'm not being unfair here, the most hated person who's been on the podcast.
But it was not the Peshwari Naan that caused that hatred.
No, to be fair.
Okay, okay.
To be fair, he was still okay. You'll always choose Peshwari Naan if you're like if you're getting a naan bread.
Yeah, always Peshwari Naan.
Well, because you got a sweet tooth, right?
Yeah, massive sweet tooth.
That won't surprise anyone. You've been spinning dolphins out of sugar and stuff.
Yeah.
You basically worked out a way of having a cake before the meals properly started.
Yeah.
Because that is essentially.
I love the almond filling in there as well, which is just the best thing ever.
Almond and coconut and stuff, isn't it? Yeah. It's like a Bounty bar sandwich. Yeah.
Oh, it's a bit like a Battenberg.
Yeah.
Battenberg sandwich.
You went somewhere when you said Battenberg there. Yes. You glazed over it and your head just went somewhere new.
It's been a while since I've had a Battenberg, you know? I've never made
a Battenberg.
You've never made one?
No.
Make a Battenberg. That's the.
But again, that sugar is, well, the royal icing around it.
Right? On the outside is sugar.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot of sugar. Let's move on to your starter.
Yes.
This is like the, what would you like to start?
My starter, if I would or if I could have it every time I go to a restaurant, would be a prawn and lobster bisque.
Oh, this is the first bisque we've had.
And we've gone very fancy early doors.
Yeah, that's a
is
real...
Is it fancy?
A prawn and lobster bisque?
Yeah, prawn and lobster bisque.
You can get these things in your... local supermarket these days.
Sure, but so who it's... does? Who
I mean,
would
is
go...
that the one you want? You want me to go and get you a tin one from the supermarket?
No.
I'm sure you could get it in the local supermarket, but I don't think anyone says I'm just going to nip down to Tesco and buy myself a bisque.
I mean, yeah. It's because I visited Malta a few years back and it was the best starter I've had in ages. And it's just always stuck.
What was this place? What was?
I can't remember the restaurant, but it was in Gozo in Malta. And again, they brought out a warm bread, bread roll, and then the prawn and lobster bisque came out, and it was just everything.
And was it already your favorite starter anyway, or was that prawn and lobster bisque the one that made you go? For some reason,
it's the one that made it on
prawn
the
and
list.
Lobster bisque funny.
Yeah,
it was the one that made it on the list because I've never really been a starter fan. So every time I've gone to a restaurant, booze, then straight to main,
straight
and,
to pudding.
Yeah, and then that's it. So I've always
quite like
skipped
this actually,
the starter.
Yes.
Until that.
Are you like? Because I kind of am feeling like, so when I was a kid, and probably still now, if I'm honest, no matter what the meal is, I was just looking forward to pudding. And I was like, really? I'm putting it... And when I was a kid, at least, I was like, I'm putting in the shift with the other stuff, but I'm really just looking forward to dessert. I kind of am already getting that vibe from you, Selassie. But maybe you're already thinking, I just want to get to that sweet pudding.
Actually.
Because we were doing this prawn and lobster bisque, and you're like, yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, let's get...
let's move on.
That's the prawn and lobster bisque. Yeah, sure. But I can already see it in your head. We're not going to talk about your pudding yet.
Okay.
Am I fair to say that? Because with me, as soon as I, when I was a kid, as soon as I had my last bite of savoury, instantly the first words out of my mouth were, what's for pudding? And my parents had to not tell me what pudding was.
I'm completely different. So yeah. I love a starter. I'm a proper starter boy. I'd rather eat two courses of starters. When we used to go to a restaurant near us when I was a kid, my main course used to be a picker's basket to share.
Picker's basket, what's that?
So it was like a selection of all the starters, and you're supposed to share it with people as a starter, but I'd have one to myself as a main. Because I was a little fat boy. Deep fried mozzarella sticks, little chicken satay sticks, that sort of stuff. I love starters.
You're talking about a combo for two?
Yeah, a picker's basket.
That's what it was. At the pub I worked at, it was called a combo for two.
Right, okay.
The pub where
you were the mash king?
No, this is the pub before I was the mash king. I was the mash king at one of the pubs, so I made the best mashed potato.
Oh.
But before then, I was doing combos for two and deep frying them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's I'm a starter boy, and you two are clearly pudding boys.
You were pudding boys, right?
Main.
You're a main boy?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm a main boy.
Joe, what? We need to go out for a meal together. Because...
It's perfect.
Bang, bang, bang. Yeah. Did he tell you a drinks man? We're going up for a meal and we are surprising the staff by just each having one course each.
Yeah.
And we don't even eat at the same time.
Yeah.
Ed eats first and then you eat and then I eat my pudding. And then we all say, thank you very much. That was a lovely three course meal.
So the bisque, I'm imagining this bisque. A bisque is like a creamy soup, right?
Yeah, creamy soup. So they make a stock from the sea, the shellfish.
Yeah, all of the shellfish.
Yeah, and then they blitz it, etc. Yeah.
Do they blitz the shells?
You can do.
You can just blitz the whole thing?
Yeah.
The shells and the...
Wow. I mean, the shells are not bad for you. I eat, I don't know, people probably hate me for saying this, but I do eat the shells on prawns and...
Do you? Just whole thing
in? Yeah, crab shells. Because I grew up on stuff like that back in Ghana. You know, we go fishing, we cook it with the shell on, and we eat it with the shell. So it's not bad for you.
Yeah.
But I mean,
just texture.
Yeah.
Is it a soft shell or is it quite crunchy?
It can be crunchy depending on... Well, it normally is crunchy when you have like prawns, etc.
But
you can have soft shell crab, which you can obviously eat the shell of.
Had some yesterday, had some soft shell crab.
Burger?
Burger? No. Okay. But so, I like as twice now. Slassie's and please keep doing this because I like it. He tries to guess the end of my sentence. Yeah. So far it's been that science is don't drink water. drink water. And this is a soft shell crab burger. Sushi. And some soft shell crab. It was a sushi roll, some soft shell crab in it. That's what I had yesterday. It was very nice. But now I want a soft shell crab burger, so thank you. I feel like I missed out yesterday. I had an inferior meal.
I saw that somewhere. I haven't had it myself, but I think I saw it on TV somewhere where someone's visiting different restaurants and then they had a soft shell crab burger, which looked epic. So
yeah. That'd be good. I mean, it took me a while to try soft shell crab because I was brought up in a little town. Well, you don't. No one really.
You'd never seen a crab. You didn't. You'd never seen a crab before.
We wouldn't have done that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Any Kettering listeners will know.
It's SpongeBob. Or something.
You're not going around eating soft shell crab in Kettering. Okay. That's not.
Would you? What would you be run out of town?
Yeah, we're too cautious. We wouldn't trust it.
What chicken and what? What would you have then?
Yeah, probably some normal chicken, unseasoned. We're not eating soft shell crab. Scared. We're too scared. Let alone prawns with the shells on. That's
what's the weirdest meat you've eaten then?
The weirdest meat that I have eaten.
Well, not weird,
that's
but
a great
but
question.
It's not on the chart as
in Kettering or outside of Kettering.
Yeah. Weirdest meat inside Kettering would be lamb.
Yeah, that's like very weirdest meat outside of bad snails.
Yeah, I love snails.
I really like snails.
Do you eat them with the shell on, Selassie?
No. I'll lose
it. Straight in there, popping it back like Gobstoppers. So probably something like snails. I don't think I've had anything weirder than that. Have you eaten weirder stuff? What's your weirdest meat? Should be a new section on the podcast.
That's a really good new question.
Welcome to What's Your Weirdest Meat?
That could be a whole new podcast in itself. Write that down, Benito.
Spin-off podcast, Benito. Yeah, what's your weirdest meat? Selassie's hosting it. He came up with it.
Yeah.
What did I have? In Peru, so they have, what do you call it? I think it's called grass cutter. It's basically, it looks like, it's a rodent. I can't remember the name, but it's a local sort of delicacy there. And literally they deep fry it and then it's still got the claws on.
Oh,
and
God.
Then the back teeth. And it's just like, it's
just like
on
post.
Plate. Yeah. It's just on the plate with salad and fries.
is it in the shape, like, can you see that it was running away?
It was like this.
Yeah, it was making it.
You got me. You got me now.
It was frozen.
So that's the weirdest thing. I mean, what I tend to do is everywhere I go, I try to have what the locals have just to fit in. You know,
well, you should go to Kettering and have some unseasoned chicken.
Have some chips.
Or just go to his house.
My house is very different. My parents' house is very different.
Okay.
My mum is a great, great cook. She'll be listening to this. She listens to everything that I do. So, Mum, I'm not slagging you off on this podcast, just so you know. Your main course. This is the big one. This is Selassie's favourite course. It's the main course. We all expected pudding, but main course.
Surf and turf.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
I'm greedy, right? Yeah, so if I could have a whole entire main menu, like a whole entire menu in a restaurant, I would.
Yeah.
If I could get away with it, I would. So I love seafood and I do love a good steak.
Yeah.
And anything meaty. So I would go for, I would tend to go for a 7.
That's your absolute dream that somehow people have combined that already then.
Yeah.
That you can have, and it rhymes. It's so handy.
I would go to church every day to thank the Lord if every menu had that.
You would go to church every day to thank the Lord. I would love that. I love it. If every menu said servant turf, and Selassie would go to church every day just to thank the Lord for the servant turf.
Selassie's here again. He's praying. I wonder what Selassie's praying for every day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for my
servant turf.
Yeah, definitely servant turf.
So what... is there a traditional combination of surf and turf? Is it steak and then prawns? Is it normally steak and prawns?
So we've got double prawns.
You've double prawned it. Yeah. Would you add anything else? Because I guess if it's called surf and turf, you could technically have any type of seafood with any type of land.
Mm. Prawns. I do love a good calamari, but you have to be careful because some are very greasy depending on how they cook it. So so calamari.
Loophole, sugar dolphin. Technically turf.
No, technically, surf. Yes.
Oh, sure.
Those two, I think.
Calamari and prawns, and then a steak.
A steak, definitely.
What cut? Any particular cut? Any particular?
Rump, I think.
Rump.
Yeah.
Oh!
How big are we talking?
Oh, huge. I mean, yeah. I do love it. So, because steak is... in a way, it's very easy to prepare, right? And cook.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I love it medium rare. Mm-hmm. So nicely cooked, sprinkle of sea salt, done.
That's all you
Nothing
need.
Nothing fancy, no other whatever. Mm-hmm. Nah.
And absolutely massive.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Where's the place you've had the best surf and turf you've ever had? Or even just like the one that sticks in your head, maybe the first one you had? I remember the first time I had a surf and turf, I thought it was a genius. I felt like I'd invented it, even though it was on the menu.
Yeah.
Just like seeing it going, that's a great idea. And like, I would probably, if it's available on a lot of menus, I'll probably go surf and turf with some garlic butter though.
Well, it feels like a cheat, doesn't it? It feels like you've like hacked the menu.
Yeah.
Because you can have two things.
Yeah.
Same with a mixed grill. I love a mixed grill.
Mixed grill is the ultimate loophole.
Yeah.
But those are like, I ordered a mixed grill once and I mean, I've said that she'll be listening. So she'll be listening. Anyway, Mum, there's a little story about you. Get ready. Me and my dad ordered mixed grills and it arrived. And my mum went, that'll give you bowel cancer. And that was it. Completely ruined the meal.
It would.
I thought, she's probably right. All I could think about was I was going to die as I was eating it. What age were you when you started having surf and turf?
That is the weirdest question anyone's ever asked on a podcast.
I assume it didn't start having them until I was in my 20s.
Yeah, but you're a relatively late food adopter, I'd say.
Yeah, that's true.
You've had a food revelation later on in life.
Yeah, for a lot of my life, I was just eating food because I had to, because otherwise I'd die. That's not... Selassie looked surprised then when he looked at me. That's not a condition that I've got.
Okay.
That's everyone.
Yeah, that's the same with everyone, okay. Selassie.
That's not me telling you about an illness I've got.
You look more surprised by people needing to eat food because otherwise they'll die than you did when James screamed Papadoms or bread in your face.
Yeah, or when I said I was a genie. Yeah. Those things weren't surprising to you, but me saying if I don't eat food I'll die, you're like, oh man, I didn't know.
Well, no, because maybe
he's
going along with the fact you're a genie. That is surprising that a genie needs to eat food otherwise they'll die.
Yeah, that's the point, isn't it? Yeah. I didn't know genies needed to eat food they'll die. That's fair enough. Yeah. No, I take it back. You should be surprised. Yeah, I only got into food properly late 20s when I started actually properly enjoying it. Well, I was always a pudding boy.
Yeah.
Always liked puddings, but like I only started liking everything else and like really loving it. I was in my late 20s and I was going out with someone who also appreciated food. I was like, I get it now. But that's when I'd say I started having surf and turfs personally.
I'll probably say for me, maybe 6-7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
But I guess before that, I would always, you can't get it anywhere, but jollof rice, which is Ghanaian, not Nigerian. Again,
yeah. Oh, well, I mean, now we're doing a cross-podcast beat.
Yeah,
because,
yeah, bring it.
Lolly was here.
Comedian Lolly Adefoke was here and saying she wanted Nigerian food, and I believe jollof rice was brought up.
Yeah. So a shot has been fired over the bounds.
Jollof rice, if all restaurants served it, definitely.
Yeah. Would you be thanking Jesus in church if all restaurants served jollof rice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Back to church.
Yeah.
I'm there three times a day now.
But once for the surf, once for the turf, and once for the jollof rice.
Yeah. Then a little extra prayer for Peshwari naan.
Yeah. And then once more, just to curse Nigerian jollof rice. Please, Lord, get rid of it. I don't like it.
So what's jollof rice? How are you putting together jollof rice?
I'm describing it how I make it. So it depending on what you're adding, so chicken or lamb or beef or goat or anything, you make a stock from the meat.
Yeah.
Then you use the stock to make a stew. So it's a tomato stew.
Yeah.
And then you add your veg. If you want to add veg, then you cook it in basmati rice, not American long grain. Basmati rice. And it's just a stewed rice made from tomato sauce. And then you can add the meat or you grill the meat separately and then you have it on the side.
Nice.
And it's everything.
Yeah. That sounds very good, actually. I got lost in that. Like, yeah. It's like I was listening to a poem.
Yeah.
Completely for hard. So lovely. is there a specific place you want me to get this surf and turf steak from for you? Best one you've ever had?
I can't remember. I had it in Shoreditch. Blue's Kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Blue's Kitchen in Shoreditch.
They
nice.
They good surf and turf there.
Ed knows it.
It's a fun place.
And you're like one in rump Shoreditch? Medium rare with prawns. And a side dish?
Side dish. Well, have you heard of plantain?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So fried plantain wins all the time.
Every time?
Every time.
Now, I feel this is another hack for you to get an extra little dessert tasting thing in there.
Yeah.
Because
it's quite sweet. It's like you've got the Peshwari naan and then the plantain. It's like you're just infusing the whole meal with a bit of sweetness.
You want to put some marshmallows in your bisque?
Fried plantain. So in Ghana, it's a street food. So it's called kelewele, and they cook it or they fry it, seasoned with ginger, garlic, salt, and so it's quite and chili as well. So it can be quite spicy, and it's just amazing. And they have it with a side of peanuts.
So a side of peanuts.
Yeah.
How are the peanuts? Just as they are.
Yeah, just as they are, and roasted peanuts. Mm-hmm. So roasted peanuts, and you just mix it in, and literally that's it. And they're serving literally a little wrapping thing, paper or whatever you call it.
That actually sounds like it'd go really well with the surf and turf as well. Yeah. I don't know why people aren't putting that with surf and turf more often.
Yeah, have it as a little side.
Yeah.
And if
they don't have it, then I'll have. I'm a big sweet potato fan.
Yeah, I bet.
Joel Dobbit again.
Fried sweet potato, like sweet potato chips.
Say if they don't have it. You're at the Dream Restaurant, Selassie. We have absolutely everything.
We're going to get you the plantain.
We'll get you the plantain.
Yeah.
Peshwari naan, surf and turf, fried plantain.
Fried plantain and done exactly like so. Proper street food from Ghana. I can get you that.
Yeah.
No,
peanuts on the side.
Some peanuts on the side. Yeah. Oh, don't forget. Forget the peanuts. The roasted peanuts on the side.
Yeah. And in an absolute baller move, you're the first person to ask for a side with your side.
Yeah.
You've got a side dish to the side dish.
I told you I'm greedy.
I like it.
Yeah, you flagged it up first. That's fair.
Side of plantain. Side of peanuts on that. Yeah. There's a little side for the peanuts. I can put a little something else.
Keep the shells on.
Put a single olive on the side there. Just hanging off like a...
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
To drink as well for the whole, so like this, I mean, this is, and this is I think going to be quite a big one, because like obviously you were saying at the start that you'd normally start with a boozy drink.
Yeah.
Also, you were telling us earlier that you're currently working with Cocktail Genius, pairing up desserts and cocktails. That was off menu. But exciting though. Do you want to actually talk about that for a bit?
So on the 28th of February, I'm hosting a dessert and cocktail event in Regent Street with Smeg, just eating desserts and pairing them with cocktails just to get people drunk.
Just watching James's eyes light up when you talk about that.
Like a pinball machine. I would absolutely. There's pairing desserts and cocktails. How long did it take to do that? What a day. I would love it. He's got to pair them all first. Like, are you working together pairing them? Or are you making a dessert and then he pairs a cocktail with it? Or
We're... In true Selassie fashion, I'm a bit laid back on the prep stages of it. So I will get to it, but we will be working together.
You don't know what the desserts are. Yeah.
Well, no, I know what the desserts are. So the first one will be a consommé, which is basically, I guess, a fruit soup. So you basically poach or you sous vide fruits, and then you get the liquid out and you serve it with, I don't know, something on the side, something crispy or some more fresh fruits, etc. Then the main would be a crack. Well, it's not a drug.
It's very delicious, very Moorish dessert.
Have to emphasize that. Selassie's not serving crack cocaine.
Crack cocaine cocktails and dessert. Crackling, so choux pastry, which would be filled with some sort of mousse and a praline paste with ice cream. And so we're going for a hot and cold dessert, and then with either hot chocolate sauce or something that we're still thinking about, then the dessert, then the so it's a three-course dessert.
Yes.
And then the final course is a cold
pudding,
dessert.
Pudding.
Yeah, pudding. pudding.
Yeah.
Would be a, do you like Ferrero Rocher?
Yes.
Yeah, so it would be a take on Rocher. So you'll have the chocolate center, you'll have a wafer shell, then it'll be rolled in hazelnut chocolate.
Oh, amazing. That sounds really
That'll
good.
That'll be seven on its own as well.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
And even then, you said, I'm quite laid back about it. And then you're like, actually, no, we've got the recipes. And then some of those recipes involved something crispy and some sort of mousse.
Yeah. Which, I just have it there.
Yeah, I just need it.
Actually, I brought some of the praline paste for you guys to try.
Oh, thank you so much. That is the reason we started this podcast, is so people would bring in things like that. And we're very, very happy.
Every single person so far, when they've sat down, at some point during the interview, I just go, you got any praline paste? I didn't ask. I was like, you got any praline paste? We have to edit that out every time because I have a huge outburst yelling at them that they haven't bought praline paste because I love it so much.
Criterion, though, yeah. Right?
Oh, I can't wait to try that. Also, do you need any help pairing them up with the cocktails? I'll happily come along.
Okay.
And just help you guys
I'll
out.
I'll bear their in mind.
James can be a celebrity taster for you. He can come down and...
Yes, that's
important. Show his face.
That's important. Yeah. Celebs have to sign off on these things, otherwise they're good, right?
Yeah.
So yeah,
rubbish otherwise.
So that's what you need. You need a celeb to.
And I really want a Smeg fridge, so I'll pop down as well.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, that's where Smeg is. I was thinking of Red Dwarf. I mean, that's a bit weird. He's doing a Red Dwarf thing pop up event,
and none of the recipes seems to relate to Red Dwarf.
No. None of them are very Red Dwarfy.
So drinks wise, what are you going to have with this dream meal?
Obviously, so far, I'm expecting that you are going to have a sweet cocktail or something because what things have been so far?
I'm a big whiskey fan. I do love a whiskey.
Yes. Yeah.
So if I can have a neat whiskey, then fine. But if not, if it's in a cocktail, old fashioned.
But you can have whatever you like, Selassie. This is, you can...
Old fashioned.
Old fashioned. Great.
Yeah. Old fashioned or whiskey sour.
Yeah. Whiskey sour was my gateway to cocktails because obviously it is just a pudding.
Yeah.
So like that was the first time like I even bothered with a cocktail. It was it's not there anymore. A place called Wishbone in Brixton Village used to do like really good whiskey sours, and that's why I started going there. And then it changed its name to Chicken Liquor because it was taken over by Meat Liquor.
Yeah.
So Meat Liquor took it over, called it Chicken Liquor. I wasn't happy about the name change, but the menu was the same. That was fine.
Yeah.
Now it's a Meat Liquor. Ain't even any chicken on
and that's shutting down as well.
It's not chicken on the menu.
Do you know what? If they're listening, I'm glad you're shutting down. That's what you get, that you absolutely deserve. It was great when it was Wishbone, and then you came along and you changed it and you ruined it.
Don't fix it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, they did give me a free meal once because I mentioned on QI, I mentioned it just offhand, I mentioned Chicken Liquor, and it got back to them, and they offered me a free meal.
Oh,
and they let me and 9 friends go. Did you come, Ed?
No, I wasn't invited.
I went with 9 of my buddies.
Yeah, my best friend.
I can't believe I didn't make the cut.
You must have been invited to
this. I can't
believe
I'm your 10th best friend.
There's no way you weren't invited to it. I will not have this. There's no way you weren't invited. You must have been invited. But it was a lot of us went there, and they kept on. It was the best, what a meal. Because we got there.
Well, hang on. You've just massively slagged them off and now you're trying to pull it back.
No, I'm not pulling it back. They're dead in the water. Fuck them. But I'll be even handed and say about this amazing meal that I had.
Yeah.
Because this was great. We turn up and they give us the menus. And they're like, while you're deciding, we'll just put some nibbles out. And it was like, but the nibbles were like full dishes.
Yeah.
So like full baskets of chicken. And like they're doing this Nashville hot chicken at the time as well. And that had just gone on the menu. Hadn't tried that before. So we basically have our full meal while we're deciding on our meal. Then we all order our chicken. And also, they just keep us topped up with cocktails because they know a lot of the whiskey sours. So they keep coming over. And just as soon as you finish your cocktail, they just top it up with another one. Yeah. And there was also this this punch that they'd done. That was really lethal. I don't know what was in that, but that was insane. Yeah. And we drank all of that, and then we're absolutely smashed, and then we watched Lolly Adefope.
You went to her show?
Yeah, just went to Lolly's show at the Soho Theatre. I was absolutely... Lolly, if you're listening, which you won't be, but Lolly, I was so drunk at that gig, I'm so sorry.
So this restaurant gave you a free meal.
Yes.
And you have now thrown it back in their face by saying that you're angry at them.
Well, no, you see...
So now, by the way, if you work for Meat Liquor, you can now contact James and ask him for the money for that meal.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
You feel free to get recoup that
this
money.
Is just because you didn't get invited, you little... Yes. You bitter bastard. You son of a bitch. You bitter son of a bitch. You trying to get me to pay for that free meal I had. And also, I'm not slagging off chicken liquor. It was the chicken liquor staff who did that for me, and then meat liquor took them over and ruined it.
No, but chicken liquor's a branch of meat liquor. It's the same company.
No. Here's how it worked. They were Wishbone. They got taken over by meat liquor, but the same guy was still in charge of it. And then when they got taken over by meat liquor properly, then that guy had to step down and the staff changed it. Now it's shutting down. It deserves it. Meat liquor could rot in hell, but I love chicken liquor.
An old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned.
Any specific whiskey? You can have any whiskey you like in it.
What is it you love about an old-fashioned? Two questions.
It's very dangerous drink, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a bit of sugar in there.
Surprise, surprise for Selassie.
But
probably the melted down corpse of a sugar dolphin.
Yeah. I thought you got waste not want not.
Yeah.
I'll do like a smoky whiskey. So yeah. I'll go for a Lafroy.
Oh yeah. Lafroy super smoky.
Super. Yeah.
Yes.
Super. Very nice. Yeah, old fashions are good. Yeah. Old fashions. I like Rob Roy's as well.
Okay.
Do you like Rob Roy's? It's what I imagined whiskey tasted like before I drank whiskey. Does that make sense?
I've always had the taste of Jack Daniels, like because at uni we literally, because you know you're a broke student and all you have is JD and Coke, JD and Coke.
Yeah.
So I've never really been a fan of JD since then. So
yeah, I don't know.
I mean, my first sort of experiences of whiskey would be JD and just like horrible.
Yeah,
no,
not good.
I don't like JD.
Yeah. No, now I drink old fashioned Manhattans.
Yeah.
Whiskey sours now and again. I love it. Brown drinks.
Ed lives in Mad Men. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
Ed is.
I want to be in the show Mad Men.
He's in Mad Men. He's Don Draper. He drinks all those drinks.
Now it's the big, it's the big question.
If you choose cheese and biscuits, it'll be the funniest thing ever.
I don't like cheese, so.
You don't like cheese?
Well, I'm not the biggest, like the ganky looking ones, no.
The ganky looking cheeses?
Yeah.
name some of the ganky looking ones.
Top three gankiest cheeses, please, Selassie.
Name and shame. What are the gangsters? Do you mean soft ones, ganky ones?
Or smelly looking ones?
Both.
Soft smellers.
Yeah.
Hashtag soft and smelly. I'm putting a brie in front of you. How do you feel about that? Ganky?
Yak.
Ganky.
Yeah.
Okay. Stilton?
Yak.
Ganky.
Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah.
Even worse.
I don't mind mozzarella because it's tasteless and, you know, I mean, yeah. I do love a pizza. So, yeah, mozzarella, cheddar all day.
Yeah.
But the rest.
Cheesecake, obviously.
Cheese board, I wouldn't go near it.
No.
I'll probably just grab the grapes off it. But that's it.
Yeah. Bunch of grapes straight in the mouth.
Yeah.
That's a warning. If you ever offer Selassie a cheese board, he's just going to take the grapes.
Just give me a bowl of grapes.
He's going to say something about the cheese board being ganky and then he's going to run away.
That's fair play. Well, this is good because I've always been anti cheese board. Ed is very pro cheese board.
I love cheese board.
But I like the
gankier the better for me.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. One of my favourite cheeses is a cheese that's called Stinking Bishop.
Can you believe
and
that?
And it's a Tourette rude. Name for it.
Yeah.
Stinking Bishop. What a boy.
I go to church every day and I pray.
To the Stinking Bishop.
To the Stinking Bishop.
He works
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he
anyway.
Works there and he feels... But he hears me praying, talking about the Stinking Bishop and he thinks it's about him.
Yeah.
And now he's really self-conscious.
He's washing all the time.
Even during service.
Always leaks shower gel. Washing. Oh, and Gamble said I stink again. I mean, he's very grateful for me, but he said I stink. So, your actual pudding then. This is the big one. This is why, I mean, some people... Hello to everyone who's just skipped ahead to this bit. Some people we've just listened just to hear what Selassie's favourite pudding is. Here we go. For the listener, he appears to be just thinking about it now.
And also praying.
Yeah, he is praying. You got your hands in a prayer.
Chocolate pudding.
Whoa. Simple.
We need more information, Selassie. We need you to go into some details here, my friend.
Chocolate pudding. I mean, I do love a good chocolate cake.
Yeah.
But then you've got a chocolate pudding with the molten chocolate in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You cut through it, and it just oozes out. And you have a side of...
a side gotta respect
of,
it.
blackberry sauce, which... is seasoned with ground black pepper.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
And it's just much made in heaven.
And is this something that you make?
Yes.
On a regular basis? Yes. This is one of yours? Okay.
Yes, yes. And it's my go-to.
I think you're the first person to come to the Dream restaurant and then offer to go in the kitchen and cook the pudding.
I was going
to
say that. Yeah. Well, first one for pudding. Obviously, Scroobius Pip cooked his own main course.
He cooked his own main course.
With the meaty base.
Yeah, yeah.
Which has taken off and loads of people have enjoyed the meaty base. But now we've got Selassie's chocolate pudding.
Is it like a fondant, right?
Yeah, chocolate fondant.
With blackberry sauce with black pepper in it.
Yeah.
And how long have you been making that particular dish for?
Oh, for a while now.
So this is like a...
Yeah, go-to. Because I'm not... They're going to kill me now. I mean, I'm a dessert person, but I'm not... When I go to a restaurant, I don't really look at the dessert because I always feel, I eat it so much at home.
Yeah.
So it's not an arrogance thing. It's like, I eat so much dessert that I'd rather just get on with the main and then,
Have you ever been out to a restaurant, had a starter and a main, and then gone home and cooked a dessert yourself? Mm.
No. Or maybe I should do that.
You should do that. That's great. It's a cheaper way of eating out.
Yeah.
Take out the service charge.
Yeah.
You get a little walk before the dessert.
Yeah,
you know, that's
exactly.
Quite good.
Because the thing with desserts, right, is you have it at the end of the meal, of course, but then you don't want to have too much of it.
Yeah.
So it needs to be very little, very tasty. And because people sometimes feel like, I don't think I have room for dessert. So with a chocolate pudding, it's very simple. It comes in the little ramekin and then that's it. So there's, you don't have a slab of pie in front of you with ice cream on the end, drizzle of caramel or whatever, et cetera, whatever the dessert is.
I tell you someone who always has room for dessert, it's James Acaster. Yeah.
Got a dessert stomach. Separate dessert stomach. And that's
where does it all go?
Huh? Selassie, trust me, we'd get so angry about this.
I have to run a bloody marathon when I have one dessert. Just to lose it.
You did run a marathon, right?
Yes, I did.
A lot of the Bake Off people, a lot of people did a marathon together.
The Baker's Dozen, we did it last April. And it was, it's killer.
Where did you, because surely at the end of it, even though no one cares where they place in the marathon, but you care where you place amongst your friends, right?
I did, then I realized, I didn't get my time. So let's be all like, I still ran the marathon. So
I think that's right. Was it the London Marathon?
London Marathon last year? Yeah,
it was boiling, right?
It was the hottest. So when I was training for it.
Did you run it as well?
No, I ran it the year before and the weather was all right.
Yeah.
And I'm running it this year as well.
Are you?
Yeah. And I'm kind of really, really hoping the weather is not warm because it looked horrible last year.
It was. I was like dying. Like literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, just I was in pain.
And you don't drink water either, so that must be absolutely awful.
Turning it down all the time. Yeah. So that's it. An old fashioned if you will.
There are actually runs somewhere, maybe in Kettering, where you can basically run with beer and burger.
Yeah, sure.
That's in Kettering. Yeah, absolutely.
Chewing on an unseasoned chicken.
Yeah, I should think so. Wow. You're doing it this year, Ed?
Yeah.
How's the training going?
All right. I mean, we're still about 16 weeks away, so it's okay.
Yeah, you've got loads of time.
Yeah, I think I've got a while, but I quite enjoy the training.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I love it. I like having a bit of structure in my life.
You're changing your diet, aren't you, for it?
Yeah. I'm trying to not eat three-course meals all the time.
Just two.
Just two. Yeah. Two courses.
Every new year, though, you're quite good at doing something like that. Every new year, like last new year, you went vegan for a bit.
Yeah, for 6 months. I went vegan for 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it?
No, Selassie's not happy with that.
Making a cross sign with his hands. Like he was banishing a demon from the room.
And they didn't do vegan week when you were on Bake Off, but now they do vegan week regularly. You wouldn't have been happy with that?
Nah.
No.
Nah. Nah. I mean, veganism, it sounds like a religion, right? And
You're the one praying for surf and turf every day.
I mean, you're the one thanking Jesus for food.
I've always grown up on meat and just everything else.
Sure, yeah.
You know, so it wouldn't be a life choice that I would make myself.
Fair enough. And
I'm not here dissing anyone.
No, but,
it's your choice. Go ahead, do what you want. So
I did extra slice. When it was vegan week, because they had vegan week in the last series, and those cakes were delicious. I was amazed by
some vegan cakes are great.
I'm pretty close-minded actually.
Yeah.
I hold my hands up.
Yeah,
and they were so nice.
Yeah,
I would not have. I know like the compliment people always give vegan food is that you wouldn't know it was vegan.
Yeah,
food.
Yeah, yeah.
And that that's like, but like, honestly, I think you a bit. I think
I've had some good vegan cake. So if it's a chocolate cake and it's vegan, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But if you try, well, when you try and do other sort of vegan stuff, sometimes it's a bit, you know, because you can make avocado chocolate cake, which sometimes if you don't get it right, the avocado is just overpowering.
It just tastes like and avocado. Just,
yeah, you don't want a stodgy avocado in the flour mixture in your mouth kind of thing. So it's a bit, yeah. So you have to get it right. I've had some great vegan recipes or meals, but then I wouldn't necessarily go it's back.
Not yet. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I think that's a very balanced opinion, Selassie. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Future politician in the making. Right. So shall I read your order back to you? Make sure that you're happy with it.
Yes.
You would like still water to start, but you won't be finishing it.
No.
So I can give you it in a shot glass if you like.
That'll do.
And just to let you know, Selassie was not lying. He's had a glass of water in front of him for the whole record, and he has not touched any of it.
Gone nowhere.
Sorry, I'll have a sip.
No, you don't need to.
You're sipping the water.
He's having a sip now. There you go. Absolutely disgusted by the whole thing.
Yeah. Peshwari naan. Then you would like a prawn and lobster bisque, preferably from, was it Malta?
Yeah.
Yeah. Surf and turf. And you would like the rump steak, medium rare, with the... prawn and calamari, but not too greasy on the calamari.
Yep, that's correct.
Side of fried plantain, but the street food one with the peanuts on the side.
Yeah,
roasted peanuts.
Yeah,
you would like an old fashioned with the smoky whiskey. What was the whiskey?
Lefroy.
And you would like chocolate pudding made by your own hands with a side of blackberry and pepper sauce.
Yes, get rid of the pastry chef.
Get rid of fire the pastry chef.
I'll make my own dessert, and then.
I mean, technically, that's me. I'm a genie. The whole thing is me. I've got to let you into the kitchen for a bit to make that pudding. Well, thank you very much, Selassie.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That is a wonderful meal as well.
Yeah, it's a delicious meal. Because some of them were, close to when we started off, close to Joel Dommett's one with the Peshwari naan.
Yeah,
I was a little bit worried, but it just goes to show that you know Joel's individual choices aren't bad. Just his entire life in general. So it's not. It's fine. Yum, yum, yum. Great meal.
Great meal.
Great meal.
That's a proper good meal.
And not a licorice in sight.
No licorice was mentioned. Thank the Lord. I pray every day that licorice was not mentioned.
Oh, loads of praying in the church today. I liked that.
I really liked it.
We should offer that as a service to a lot of our guests. There's also a genie church.
Not a genie church.
Yeah, next door there's a church and the vicar's a genie. Not me.
The vicar's a genie?
Yeah.
Why does the vicar have to be a genie?
It's the person who runs the church has to be a genie.
I think that'd be too flashy for a vicar. Because you're already in there praying to God, aren't you? Why would the vicar be running around like a genie, which is pretty holy? Genies are pretty holy, right?
So God is a genie. Is that what you're saying?
Well, God, a genie is almost a type of God, isn't it?
So you would rather that the God is a genie in the church?
And life is a dance floor.
God is a genie, life is a dance floor. Life is a roller coaster, and I'm going to ride it.
So before we get too sidetracked with philosophy... thank you very much to Selassie for coming in. Lovely stuff. Great meal. Chilled out guest we have ever had. He took everything within his stride, apart from the revelation that James needs to eat food to survive.
Yeah, and sorry to any listeners who also didn't know that. if we scared you during your morning commute, we didn't mean to. But that is, you know, we can educate people. You know, maybe, hey, if any of you are listening to the... more than one podcast. If any of you listen to that No Such Thing as a Fish podcast that the QI elves do, if they say that fact on it, call them on it. They've stolen that off us.
Yeah.
If they say on it that if you don't eat food, you'll die, and they've got that off of us.
Yeah.
Thank you to Selassie also for this. I'm holding in my hand a lovely jar of praline paste that he has left for us.
Yes, it does look good, actually. I might try a little spoonful of it later.
Well, it's in my hands, mate, so good luck. Good luck getting any idea of this. I'm drinking it all.
Hey, James, anything you want to plug?
I'm on tour this year. On the television will be Hypothetical soon, hosted by Josh Widdicombe and myself on Dave. We ask our guests... pose fun hypothetical situations to our guests, one of which is actually Ed Gamble in one of the episodes.
I'm a guest. I'm not a hypothetical situation.
No. You're a guest on it. I won't invite him to a chicken shop, but I'll invite him on my TV show. Yes. That's how much of a nice guy I am.
I just remembered you did that.
I definitely invited you to that.
Hey, I'm on tour too. My show's called Blizzard. It's touring nationwide. It has now started. So I'll be feeling pretty down right now. I'll be on tour. It's very exciting. So check out my website, edgamble.co.uk. Check out where I'm doing my show near you and come along.
Nice little song at the end there. That was very nice. I enjoyed that.
James.
So all that's left to say is eat well, don't die, and see you next time on Off Menu, I think.
And huge shout out to Barry and everyone at Angel Comedy who's let us record the podcast today in Angel Comedy Club, Camden Head in Angel. Do come along, see some shows here, see some shows at the Bill Murray, where they also run wonderful gigs.
Great gigs, wonderful gigs.
Thank you to them. Thank you to Selassie. Thank you to you, James. Thank you to our producer, the great Benito. We will see you next week on Off Menu.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Gamble. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.